Welcome to Feathers and Friends, the podcast all about your favorite feathered friends and the incredible world of birds.
This week, we're in for a real treat as we're talking about one of the most fascinating birds in the world, the Indian peafowl.
Now, from their unique behaviors and mating rituals to their incredible adaptations and fascinating habits, there's so much to learn about this incredible species.
We'll be talking to experts in the field, exploring the latest research, and sharing some of our own personal experiences with these amazing birds.
So whether you're a bird watcher, a nature enthusiast, or just someone who loves learning about new and interesting creatures, this episode of Feathers and Friends is for you.
So grab your binoculars, settle in, and get ready to take flight with us on this episode of Feathers and Friends.
Cue that intro music. Howdy, everybody. As you know, my name is Jared. I am the co-host, or I'm actually the host of Feathers and Friends, the podcast all about random Reddit nonsense here. And today we're gonna be boys and girls. We got a hoot of a treat going out here for you. This is episode 162, 162 of all them places. And I wanted to touch base on a couple different podcasts. Some really stupid clickbaity titles to basically a bunch of other dumb stuff that is out there. But I wanted to start off with comic books something. I think it's CBR.com. So CBR.com, I'll put a link in the description here about the 10 great movies that were ruined by one controversial scene. And I did a little bit of research. I'm not gonna lie. I watched some porn. Basically, I watched some porn is what it turned out to be here. But I wanted to touch base with a couple of the greatest movies that were ruined by one controversial scene. I'm not going to cover all 10. I'm going to cover the vast majority of them, it sounds like, from what I wanted to read off. But we're going to get through them together. So Grand Moff Tarkin and Princess Leia's, quote, cameos, end quote, were unethical. This is coming from Rogue One, a Star Wars story. So Rogue One, a Star Wars story, is cited as one of the better Star Wars projects made during the Disney era. However, its chances at being immortalized as an underrated war movie are held back by its controversial cameos. Specifically, Peter Cushing, who passed away in 1994, returned as Grand Moff Tarkin, and Carrie Fisher, who was de-aged via CGI. So at best, Cushing and Fisher looked uncanny. At worst, their cameos rang ethical alarms. Intentionally or otherwise, Rogue One implied that studios owned actors' faces and voices in perpetuity, and the fact that worse uses of deepfake and de-aging visual effects were used after Rogue One only further tarnished its lasting legacy. So this article was written by Angelo de los Trinos. Angelo, you are completely fucking wrong. I bet you any money, they asked Peter Cushing's estate if they could use their Disney's not just going to be like, hey, we're going to CGI them in here. And Leia, probably, they weren't just like, hey, Leia, let's try it. Like, I feel like they at least made an attempt, you know, like, not everything is going to be $50 billion. Like, I was actually talking to Alex right before I actually started recording this podcast here, where I was talking about, like, there's an article that I wanted to touch base on, but basically the way the article goes is that the game BioShock, I forget if it was BioShock 2 or BioShock 3, where you have the gal that walks around with you, basically an entire engine was created to make porn of this one video game character. You know what? I want to be right because I think I gave it. Let me just put a pin in it. Put a pin in it. Okay, there we go. So I think I did that correctly, and I think that I got everything right here. So BioShock Infinite was one of the most hyped games of its time, but its only lasting legacy was that the porn of its main character was responsible for several breakthroughs in 3D animation. So basically, all of the Overwatch porn that you see is based off of tech that was specifically developed to make not safe for work stuff for this very specific character. Blender Animation went through so many innovations because people wanted 3D smut of Elizabeth from Bioshock Infinite that it's comparable to when film developed color. There we go. I'm just going to, I'm going to go ahead and just copy and paste this article. That's all right. That's fine, Alex. You're good to go, bud. That's A-okay, homie. But there we go. Yeah, there we go. So I sent him the article. But yeah, so like when Disney decided to implement it into the real world, like I felt like it was part of the story. Like when I was watching the scene, and I remember when I watched Rogue One, like I genuinely felt like this is a part of the movie that it needed to be in there. It was a good scene. It was a good reason to be in there. And I mean, when I was watching, it was like, ooh, okay. Everything looks a little janky, but like they're really getting into the deep fakes, and they're doing a lot of interesting things with these deep fakes to where they can finally make movies into ways that we want to be done. Like, I've always found animation to be interesting because animation is one of the greatest things in the world. You know, there are limitations between what can be done in the real world versus what can be done with actors out there. And I've always found it interesting that when you take a look at animation and what you can do with, you know, CGI and gen this and gen that and everything else like that, like it's really kind of freaking cool at what you're capable of achieving with that out there. Like take, for instance, you know, the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, right? The cool things you can do with that versus what you can do with real world CGI. And the real world CGI has been getting really, really good. And I think this was a good stepping stone into how to do it correctly. I'm almost 100% certain that they de-aged Carrie Fisher with her permission. Grand Moff Tarkin was de-aged via Cushing and his estate. Like, they didn't just go, we're going to fucking do it. This is more clickbaity than some of the clickbait headlines of the other post. And then the next one is from Ghostbusters Afterlife, where Egon Spengler's cameo was egregious and unethical. For the first two-thirds of Ghostbusters Afterlife was a daring and somber legacy sequel to the iconic 1984 comedy. Then it devolved into a pandering Ghostbusters remake that pushed the new cast aside for the original actors in the third act. This turn for the worse was cemented by Harold Ramis's posthumous cameo as Egon Spengler. Dude, this is Ghostbusters. This is Ghostbusters through and through. Why wouldn't one of the dead characters come back as a ghost? Why wouldn't they? I mean, like, seriously? Like, you're questioning whether or not it would be a thing? And you saw what happened when they did a remake with Channing Tatum as the token hot guy for the all-female Ghostbusters. Like, it was very poorly received. It was so poorly received, it was ridiculous. And, like, I look at all this stuff where it's like, you don't... Like, come on, man. Like, this is... I remember that article that I read where Henry Cavill basically was like, no, I'm not going to shave my chest because this one Superman had a hairy chest. He didn't have a clean-shaven chest. And it's those small little minutiae that really kind of bring us into, hey, this is something that we should be looking into. This is a reality of the situation. And when we detracted from the original and we detracted from what we know and love, you can't do it. Because like you watch these movies where it's the next legacy. You always have to have a little bit of a harken callback to the OGs, to the originals, to basically put yourself in those spots of where the original came from. Because we saw the massive downfall that it came from. You know, we saw how they tried to do a different one. And it was so poorly received that the internet lost its shit. It's like what was going on with Velma, right? It's fucking Scooby-Doo, but woke washed to just be absolutely fucking trash dumpster juice. I watched the first part of the first episode because I was like, I genuinely watched that first part of the first episode where it's like, it can't be as bad as people are talking about it. Like, it's funny to me that it's that hilarious, but there's no way in hell that this cartoon is as bad as they say it was. And holy shit, was it bad. It was so fucking bad. And that's why I did a whole rant and rave on it. Like, I couldn't imagine that it would be that trash dumpster juice. And I didn't hear as much backlash about what was going on with this than I did with everything else. Like, okay, yeah, the OG characters came back and, you know, really it was more about the OGs showing the young guns how to do it, so that way when they go forward, you can do it. And I'm not gonna lie, I haven't watched Ghostbusters Afterlife. I haven't. I probably won't watch it for a little while. I'll probably get to it one day. But I guarantee you that it can't be as bad and as jarring as that first 5-minute introduction to Velma, the one with Mindy What's-Her-Nuts. So to be honest with you, I don't view that as a bad thing. In Apocalypse Now, where a real water buffalo was really killed on camera, I don't think we need to talk about that one, because now if you kill an animal live on film, like, it's a huge no-no, and you don't get a stamp. But then again, I've heard the no animals were harmed is kind of a shun here. Number 7 is The Locals' Assaults on Bobby Tripp overshadowed the entire movie in Deliverance. Dude, that was a fucking hard scene to watch. That was a real fucking hard scene to watch. I watched Deliverance too. Like, I remember people told me that Deliverance was a fucking movie I needed to see. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And then I did. And the rest of the thing kind of just sticks in my mind. Like, it just kind of sticks in my mind. That whole, that is the only thing I remember of that movie. So, like, yeah, I'll give it to you that, like, it overshadowed everything. And it was a hard scene to watch. That scene kind of, I mean, it set the tone for the movie, but yeah, like, no, don't, no, that's not, like, you maybe have it at the end and then, like, maybe in the, I don't know. The next one here is the parody of the quote, The Crying Game was blatantly transphobic. So in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, Jim Carrey's unstoppable streak in the 90s led to debates about which comedy was his best. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective is an underrated pick. However, Carrey's signature slapstick was at its peak here, and it was basically a live-action cartoon. In Ace Ventura's silliness always deflated whenever its transphobia was acknowledged. In a spoof of The Crying Game, Ace reacted in disgust when he realized that Lieutenant Lois Einhorn was a trans woman. Worse, Ace publicly exposed and humiliated her later. The Crying Game can be defined because Fergus apologized for and overcame his transphobia, whereas Ace Ventura can't, and as it is depicted, trans people of deserving ridicule. First off, I don't think you fucking watched the movie, dumb fuck. Like, seriously, did you watch the entire movie? Ace Ventura is trying to solve a case, and the only way to solve the case is by basically calling out Lieutenant Lois Einhorn as being trans. Like, that's how you solve the case. That is genuinely how you solve the case. Because otherwise, like, you think that she's just a massive super fan. You're like, well, Ace, how does her being a super fan about when the laces were in? The laces were in. And you're like, well, how does that tie into the case? Because she's, Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel, right? Like, I'm gonna take a stance here. I know we're only 13 minutes into the podcast, right, Meow? I know that we're about to defend something that is possibly seen as transphobia, but this is the 90s. This is the 90s. This isn't the 70s where gay was okay. This wasn't the 80s where it started to peter out. This was the 90s when being gay was a real big fucking thing. It was a no-no. It was a little weird to be around people that were gay. I'm not going to lie. When I was active duty military, I knew a couple of folks who were gay. And, you know, it wasn't, I may have had some unjust biases. I may have had a few things that were a little uncouth. I will give you that it was probably not the best time for me to lay down biases when I was still a young budding adult. But it's not transphobic. It's not, it's Ace Ventura solving a crime the one way that he knows. And I'll put this in your court. If it is transphobia for him, you know, basically with the catalyst of the scene, like, if everything led up to the way that it does, how are you going to arrest Lieutenant Einhorn? How are you going to arrest her on grounds that shit's fucked up, yo? How are you going to do that? How are you going to arrest Lieutenant Einhorn without basically explaining to her entire force that, from the sounds of it, laid pipe or had some pipe laid on her? To me, to be completely honest with you, I 100% understand why he did it. And I feel like there's nothing with the events that went from A to B to where we got to C to D. There was no other way to do it. There was no other way to do it. And I think what's really wrong is that Lois Einhorn didn't disclose, Lieutenant Einhorn didn't disclose that she was trans. You want to talk about transphobia and doing that shit? Not everybody's okay with it. Not everybody's okay with dating a trans person. Not everybody is okay with dating a gay person. Not everybody's okay with dating a single mom. Not everybody's okay with dating, you know, a single dad or somebody who is of a different color. There are so, like, when it comes to sexuality, you get a pass. In my eyes, you get a pass because as much as I fucking cannot stand all the different niches and nuances and names for every little thing here, left, right, upside down, because, like, back in the day, like, just take, for example, asexual. Asexual meant one thing. You didn't really care for sex at all. There's asexual positive, asexual negative, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, I remember back in the day where asexual was just asexual. You didn't like sex, you didn't really care for sex, and you only did sex when you really absolutely felt like it was necessary or it needed to be done or to please your partner. That's a whole other fucking rant I can get into, but I hate all the niches and nuances and stuff like that, because when it comes to sex, there's a big part that sex can play into a relationship or into you. Because if I only like blue tennis balls, I'm only ever going to buy blue tennis balls. I don't know why I would use an orange one or a yellow one or a pink one, even though I think pink is actually a better color to use on a green court, or yellow would be a better color, or even orange actually for that matter. But like, when it comes to sex, you know what you like and you know what you want. And nobody's ever shamed over liking a certain thing or another thing, unless you have somebody who borders on psychotic behavior and they're mad that somebody won't date them because they find them really, really hot and attractive and they want to date them and they want all these positive things. And it's like, you're fucking getting into stalker territory now. If you were mad that somebody won't date you over insert X thing for sexuality, get the fuck over yourself. We cannot all be open and encompassing to anything and everything. I'm fine that you're trans. I don't give a flying fuck if you used to be a guy and now you're a woman, or you're a woman and now you're a guy. If you're a woman who came to be a guy, I apologize, but welcome to what it's like to actually being a man when we treat you like one of the boys. I hope you are okay out there. Because I think there was a woman who basically wrote a, like, went undercover as a guy and basically pretended to be a dude for like a year and a half. And like, she went through like severe shit. I think she was an artist. I don't know if she ended up killing herself later on because of it, but like, she was in a deep, dark, depressive state because she's like, is this what it's like to be a guy? And we're like, yeah, it's what it's like. And she's like, holy fuck, how do you deal with this? But like, it's not transphobic. With the way that it goes, he had to solve a crime. If I have to out somebody for something that's big enough for you to hire a detective, you know, or for an entire police force to have an active open case on it, I think it does need to come to light that Lieutenant Einhorn is Finkel. And that's how it ends up. Because if you're like, well, Lieutenant Einhorn did it. Well, how did Lieutenant Einhorn do it? Why did she do it? Well, see, it harkens back to when Lieutenant Einhorn used to be a man. And then it's still, well, is calling her at one point in time a previous male transphobic. So again, I don't think you watched the movie and I don't think you understand how crime works, because I have a feeling I know some of the other articles that you write. And then it brings me to Blue is the Warmest Color. So Blue is the Warmest Color, about a gal by the name of Adele and Emma. Now, based on Jules Moreau's graphic novel of the same name, Blue is the Warmest Color is regarded as one of the best mainstream movies about your LGBTQ+ romance. The adaptation was praised for its heartfelt and relatable look at the highs and lows of Adele and Emma's relationship. The same can't be said for the first time they were intimate. Holy shit, you guys. I found the first intimate scene that they ran. It is like if the scene is as long as I think it was, because I watched like 3 minutes of like the 6 to 8 minutes that it was actually, I think it was like a six to eight minute scene. well, not really a scene, but it was a 6 to 8 minute segment where they were basically having sex, is what it turns out to be. Apparently, they're not teenagers. They're like of age because this was made in 2013 and it was a French film. Believe it or not, it was French. But like, we actually see like it's a legit porn. Like, they don't really show nearly as much full nudity as I would have possibly maybe expected. But like, you see pussy, you see a lot of tits, and I'm almost 100% sure the two actors were legitimately actually having on-screen sex. Like, they were legitimately eating each other out, they were legitimately fingering each other. Like, some of the scenes that I saw, you might as well just call it a porno. Now, I've said that to say this. My ideal sex scene is a little bit of kissing. They get the passionate eyes, as I call them. And then they close the door. And it's implied that they had sex. That is my ideal sex scene. If I want to watch pornography, I know where to find pornography. And so I really wanted to, like, I wanted to be like, it can't be that bad, can it? And then I'm like, oh, this is porn. I just saw, like, I saw a vagina. I saw, is it raining? It's fucking raining. Okay, it's raining, I guess. Like, yeah, I saw, like, legitimate vagina. I was like, okay. I mean, I didn't know I wanted to see this actor naked, but I did. And then I saw her naked. And I saw what she looked like. The next one on the list is Sharon Stone was not informed of the interrogation's nudity in Basic Instinct. So while it's credited for helping popularize erotic thrillers in the 90s, Basic Instinct is the best known for Sharon Stone's career-defining performance as Catherine Tremell. Her performance to Catherine Tremell. Now, Catherine's interrogation, where she flashed the investigators, immortalized her as a legendary femme fatale. However, according to Stone, the explicit scene was made without her consent. In her memoir and various interviews, Stone accused director Paul Verhoeven of adding this graphic scene in Basic Instinct's final cut without her permission. Verhoeven denied Stone's claims. Revisiting Basic Instinct with this in mind only makes its most well-known scene more controversial and uncomfortable than it already was in 1992. Fucking Angelo, my boy, my girl, my person, Angelo de los Trinos. I gotta see who you are. Okay, yeah, fucking, you're a goober. I can 100% tell by the photo that you used. No. So here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? When it comes to a movie and something that you're being paid for, expect everything to be used. Just expect everything that you do to be used. If I flash my dick and it's on camera, it's going to be used, possibly in one way, shape, and or another, or it's going to be on hold somewhere for bloopers or something like that. If you are okay with filming the scene and you film the scene, because there's no way that you didn't know that scene was happening, and you had to have known that everything was rolling and that things were there, the scene was filmed, and you were okay with the scene at the time, and then after filming it, you reneged on it. It's a movie. You're being paid for something. And my one question is this. If you didn't want it, and because it's funny, she's, according to Stone, the explicit scene was made without her consent. It was in the movie script. You read the script. You did the script. It was there. And then you did the scene. And everything was okay with it. And then afterwards you renig on it. That's not how this works. Now, for the first time in a while, I actually ended up having to cut something out of a podcast. And I don't like cutting things out of podcasts. I don't like cutting things out of podcasts because somebody in the moment says something. And they're like, I don't want to. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, you put it on tape. I'm cutting it because I want to use the episode, and it's a very, very small minor part. But that's what makes the movie. You knew about the scene. You accepted the money to do the film. You did the film. And then after the fact, you were like, ah, I'm not really 100%. Then it's like, all right, well, then I want some money back for what we paid you. Because I hired you to do a job. Your job was to do all this. You were okay with everything. You were good with everything up until the final cut when we were going to use it. And then you didn't want to use it. It's like getting hired for a job and then going, oh, I have to make phone calls in the job. And you're like, yeah, it says that in its primary description that you have to make phone calls. And I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. I don't feel like it needs to be in there. You don't get to renege on something that you were contractually obligated to do, that you signed up to do, and that you no longer became okay with after the fact. If you are not okay, so that, like, that's why it's like a tattoo, man. It's like a tattoo. If you're going to do something that is going to be immortalized for quite some time, and then you're like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And then you get the tattoo. The only way to undo it is literally have them like burn it off of you with a laser. And if you didn't read the script and you agreed to the terms and conditions of being the actress and being, you know, the femme fatale that you were, you don't get a renege on it. You don't. And if you do, you've got to refilm it. You got to reshoot it. And I would honestly ask for some of my money back because I hired you to do job X and I was going to pay you Y amount of dollars to do job X. You read the script. And if you didn't read the script, that's fucking on you. That is 100% on you for not reading the script and knowing what was going on before you agreed. That's like clicking, I agree to the terms and conditions of your iTunes update. And in the update, it says that you agree to have someone's mouth sewn to your butthole to create the Enta pad or whatever that fucking stupid South Park parody of it was. I 100% firmly believe that if you did not want to do the scene, you should have never accepted the part to begin with. And if you had issues about it later, you should, like, man, it's lovely. It's lovely to be able to have the hindsight to go, yeah, I don't like that. But there's so many things in life that you just can't go, yeah, I don't like that. You know, you like a tattoo. Once the tattoo guard starts, you kind of got to finish it. When the movie is finished filming and you don't like the end product that they're putting out, you're not the fucking director. And if you didn't want to do the scene to begin with, don't fucking do it. And then number three that I wanted to talk about, I only wanted to get to number three because I didn't care too much about talking about two and one. But Shelley Duvall really broke down during the staircase confrontation. Stanley Kubrick's adaptation of Stephen King's The Shining is hailed as one of the greatest horror movies ever made. The Shining owes part of its glowing reputation to its cast's power performance. However, even in the movie's most devoted admirers questioned the legacy because of the way Kubrick treated the actors. Shelley Duvall was legitimately scared of Jack Nicholson. And Stanley Kubrick is kind of an ass. From everything that I've heard, Stanley Kubrick was just this horrible asshole of a human being. He was a garbage person, the way that he treated actors. I mean, hell, the number two is literally Tippi Hedren was actually attacked by real birds in the movie film, in the the final Birds. It was supposed to be fake birds, but the guy was like, yeah, we're just going to let loose a bunch of real birds. And she had a fear of birds. Like, she was, Shelley Duvall and Jack Nichols were so devoted to the characters. Like, you can, now, I will argue that it made the movie amazing. It made the scene amazing. It made a lot of things about The Shining really, really good. Because it was real. But once I learned that it was legitimate real fear, and like she broke down and there was a lot of shit that went down on it because Jack was like, I gotta make her hate me for this to be legitimate, and the way Kubrick Stanley did things, like, I almost kind of wish The Shining wasn't made. To be completely candid and open and honest with you, I almost kind of wish that The Shining wasn't made. I feel like I'm yelling. I don't know why, but I feel like I'm like yelling into the microphone because I realized that my gain was too high for one of the last ones, and I feel like I gotta yell into the microphone and go crazy with it. So there was a clickbaity article. There's a clickbaity article written by ScreenRant.com, But yeah, like going back to the movie, I almost kind of wish that it hadn't been made to begin with. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about was this other article, speaking of our Lord and Savior of the Nerds, Henry Cavill. The title is "Henry Cavill Wasn't Fired from Superman," says James Gunn. So this was done by Andy Babacht, written about a week ago here. So James Gunn, this was kind of his quote here. "All I can tell you right now, really, is Henry and Ben are not part of this universe. Also important to say that Henry Cavill was not fired. Henry was just not hired to be Superman in the Superman movies. There was never a deal there for another movie." So, I mean, technically, he wasn't fired. His contract just expired, and you never renewed it. And, I mean, technically, that's getting fired? Technically? So, I guess you're right? But that's him getting fired. There was this whole debate and debacle where you were gonna fucking let him be Superman. You were gonna have Henry Cavill moving forward as Superman. Don't worry, guys, he's your Superman, he'll be there. You know, we were able to work some things out. He was in the end credit scenes for Black Adam, and then James Gunn, just go ahead and redo the entire fucking DCEU, and you know, just make this a real thing, and then Henry Cavill's gone. When DC says that they're gonna, "Don't worry, guys, we're bringing Henry back, he's gonna be Superman, he's in the end credits here, we're moving forward, da 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 da," and especially when you do a fucking end credit scene where Henry Cavill is Superman, and you're like, "Yeah, no, he's staying back," you are absolutely firing him. You are absolutely firing him. This is clickbait. This is absolutely clickbait. Speaking of clickbait, the New York Post here posted an article that says, "Parenting. I'm 21 and my daughter's 15. Her teachers never take me seriously." This was written by Asia Grace. This was actually written on January 31st of 2023, believe it or not. And it's really funny because it's a fucking TikTok message. It's a quote, "Me driving down the road and realizing I'm 21 with a 15-year-old, a visibly stunned Hunter from Kentucky penned in the closed caption on her confessional. No other parent or staff members at the high school are going to take me serious. I can already feel people asking me what grade I'm in and if I go when I go to her events, you know." And it's like, how am I going to teach her to drive down the road when I can barely drive down the road? And you kind of basically just read down the article. It's funny because, you know, a lot of people are like, "Well, did you have a kid at 6? And he goes, "I did not have a baby when I was 6. I recently filed for guardianship of my sister a few months ago. I felt that it was the best way to keep my sister safe and happy and have all her needs and wants met as to come live with me." So no, you don't have a kid. Your daughter is not 15. Your daughter is your sister. And your sister's 15, and you're 21, and you're her legal guardian. I mean, in a sense, you could call her your mom, her adoptive mom, but you're not her mom. You're her legal guardian. You're her adoptive parent. Like, you're clickbaiting. You're clickbaiting, and God damn it, you got me. You got me. You got me, and I don't like it. And it's dumb that they're like, "Oh, your mother." No, you're her sister. You're her sister, or you're her legal guardian. So, yeah, no. Yeah, no. So I wanted to... There was this thing that came out a little while ago about deepfakes. And there's a Twitch streamer, Atriok. He gave a tearful apology after paying for deepfake porn of fellow streamers that are out there. Fellow streamers that he was a part of. Now, looking into it. So there's a clip that exposed Atrioc for basically looking at deepfakes of other streamers. And in the clip, he briefly shows that one of his tabs is open of a deepfake website. Now, the website actually sells access to deepfake images in female Twitch streamers, including the likes of like Pokimane, MyHiga, QT Cinderella. And the videos are very graphic in nature. Well, it's not graphic, it's porn. And then basically what ended up happening is that like when he opened his tab, you can actually see, you know, the videos of some of the people that I guess that he actually works with in the videos. And what's really interesting is that it panders off of something that I think the vast majority of men harbor deep inside of them. And maybe some women too. Like I've always been interested when I've talked to some women where, you know, I've had this conversation with a few people in the past where it's like, hey, my sex drive is high. It's a high drive. You know, I want you to understand that I have needs, I have wants, and I have desires. And if you're not okay with a very high drive and it's gonna mess with you later on down the road, let me know right now so we can address it, we can work through it, and if it's gonna be a problem, we can just sever ties right here and now. I don't want to say that I have a porn addiction, because I don't think I actually have an addiction. But when there's a model out there, when there's an Instagram model, or there's somebody who posts very racy photographs and very racy images, and you take a look at these images where basically it's like they wear a pasty over their nipple. And they basically wear this little cup that covers all their lady bits. I mean, there are photos on Instagram right now where, like, if you didn't see the string that went around their waist to show that they're wearing a bikini, you might as well just assume that she was naked from the waist down. And I like seeing people naked. I do. Like, if I could live in kind of a society where being naked, if I could live in a nudist colony where I see all sorts of different kinds of folks naked, now they probably are not going to be the folks that I most likely want to see naked. I would love to kind of be able to just see different people naked whenever I want to. Now, yes, they're mainly women, but the deep fakes that are on the web of nudity and the kind of things that help you piece together, or maybe they're like, oh, well, I think, you know, because the pasty is this big, she's probably got this nipple. We throw that on there and we create something that we think is what she looks like. I can see it as morally and ethically incorrect, especially if you're making money off of it, That to me is morally and ethically incorrect for two reasons. If you're making money off of it, you are using the name, image, and licensing, like the deal with the college players, like the NIL deals. You're using their name, their image, and their likeness to create money when it is not them. That is highly unethical, highly immoral, and highly illegal, right? However, if you are just some creator making the porns on the internets, and you know, you make a picture or a video or something like that of a woman who is similar in body type and everything else like that, and you make it for funsies, you make a little video of your own, you're able to tweak it all, and it's just free there for you to use and free there for you to do what you want and this, that, and the third, it's in the gray. It is highly in the gray. Because for one, I want to say thank you for creating that, even though I probably shouldn't thank you for it because it's illegal. I mean, like I said, if you're making it to, if you're using someone's NIL for profit, it's a muy no bueno, muy no bueno. But if it's just for funsies, and it's just for pure entertainment, I can see it being semi-okay. And here's why. You have people making parody YouTube videos. Parody deepfakes of things. You have deepfake videos going around about, you know, politicians, about this. People using soundboards. People, you know, pretending to be Morgan Freeman on Call of Duty and stuff like that. And I get it. Porn is still a little taboo. Well, it's still very taboo, which is so weird in today's day and age with how hypersexualized America is. I feel like we shouldn't view it as such a negative. Now, I'm not saying to go out there and like make shit and then just plaster it all over the internet. Like, if you know how to make deepfakes and you're able to create a deepfake and it's just for your own pure pleasure and everything else like that, I don't see a problem with it where you just make it for your own pure pleasure. But once you start putting it out there on the internet for it to be distributed for others to use, then it becomes a big mainstream thing. That's a problem. That is a big, big problem. And deepfakes, like, it's almost kind of becoming this thing where, like, I almost kind of expect deepfakes to be out there. But, like, you should know not to spread this fake shit. And I know it's really hard not to spread fake things because of how good deepfakes are and how good they can be. But yeah, it kind of baffles my mind a wee little bit. I mean, is the dude wrong? Yeah. And I know that being seen naked against your will is kind of a thing that kind of comes back to it. But like, I'm a bit curious. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of deepfake porn pictures that I've seen on the internet of famous people that were not them, but they were like, you know, somebody had a very similar body. I mean, hell, there's some porn stars that their whole gimmick is looking like other people, and it's not technically deepfakes. I don't know why that's wrong, you know, or why that's so different than a deepfake, because, like, at first glance, I know there was that, I know that there's, like, that Sarah Palin one. There's another porn star, like, whose whole gimmick and getup was basically looking like, I think it was Belle Delphine, you know, like, or like, there's all these other porn stars that are out there that basically do their own version of a deep fake and basically put themselves out there to make money off of somebody else's name, image, and likeness. And so then you're kind of like telling me that you should stop doing that. But when you're like, oh, big-titted streamer gets railed, you know, redheaded big-titted streamer gets railed, you know, and you're like, well, that's Amaranth, right? Like, that is 100% Amaranth, but it's a girl who looks very, very similar to her. She's wearing a wig. She's basically doing everything that she can look like Amaranth, and we don't crack down on them? I'm just saying, if we can do that, the other one really shouldn't be a problem. But again, it's that morally and ethical gray area where I feel like it would be okay for personal use, but not for public consumption where you make money off of it. And then, you know, the OnlyFans girls and everybody else who basically uses, you know, looking like somebody completely else to make money off of their OnlyFans and stuff like that. Like, look, it's Amaranth getting railed, and it's not Amaranth. It's, you know, Chelsea from the Stones, and she's just dressed up like Amaranth because they look very, very... It's like Zooey Deschanel and Katy Perry. Like, they look very, very similar. So, I guess... Make sure if you stream, you don't have tabs open that you're going to regret later. And then secondly, you know, if you're gonna look at naked photos of women, like, make sure you're not streaming and make sure that shit isn't tabbed, because, like, the last thing you want to do is get caught looking at porn, especially in your job. You get fired for that shit, usually. Usually. So, yeah, I wanted to touch on it because, like, I thought I'd have more of a fleshed out idea, but, like, I wasn't 100% certain on it. But, yeah, anyways. So, I've got, well, you know what? Here we go. Let's use the opening, shall we?
Advice.
I've got the shit. I might as well use it, right? Whoa. Oh, do I have mod mail? I guess I do. That's fucking... Oh my god. Are we serious? Oh my God. I don't fucking people. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, yeah, hey. Oh shit. Did this get removed? No way. No way. This was Am I the Asshole for causing a scene at my surprise birthday party? Oh yeah. If I remember, oh my God. Hold on a sec. I got to find it because this was a good one. I remember this was a real good one. Sometimes I can't believe that I'd say this, but I'm a moderator for a website for one of the subreddits that I'm on. And I kind of like it because I get to clean up the website and make it what it's actually supposed to be used for and not some of the dumb stuff I see people try to use it for. But I kind of almost remember this one, because the post was locked. So this dude has a surprise party, pulled on him, right? Like he has a surprise party that, oh God, I wanted to find the story. So yeah, so this guy has a surprise party that's put on for him, and basically what ends up happening is this dude ends up having this issue where his girlfriend buys him like the gaming laptop that he wanted to do. Now his girlfriend makes a lot more money than he does. Basically, he ends up blowing up on her at the party because he thinks that she spent too much money. She's like, "I wanted to get you something nice and cool for you." Da 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 da. He's like, "I kind of blew up around the party. I wanted to leave the party, but I didn't leave the party." And then we had a whole da da da. And so what it ends up being is that this dude just basically gets pissed off that he gets the gift that he wants from her, and it's a gaming laptop that he wants to play the games that he wants to have. And like, look. Dude, if you have a problem with your girlfriend making more money than you do, number one, you're a fucking idiot. I would absolutely love to work just kind of a regular job, submit a lot of the things that I submit, and then do a lot of the housework on the side. Especially if it's a gift, it's a $2,500 laptop. And, you know, you basically tell your girlfriend that you don't, like, bro, if my girlfriend was like, "Hey, Jared, here's that new game. Here's the new PC that you wanted. I remember I saw you built it. This is great. Oh, by the way, it's paid for outright. You don't have to worry about anything. Here you go." I'd fucking be like, "Do you want to marry me? Like right now? Like I can put up with all the other shit. I'll marry you right now." Yeah, dude was a dumbass. I really wish I could have read it to you. And I really, really wish that I would have had the whole story there because it was so good. It was so good. Like the dude just totally annihilates himself. Like he is basically his girlfriend is loving, caring, and all the good things that you ask for in a relationship. And the girl basically is like, "Hey, here you go. Here's everything that you wanted. Here's all the good shit. Oh, by the way, I paid for it. Take care of it." And she's like, "Dude, you're a fucking moron. Like you don't deserve to have that girlfriend at all, at all, at all." So I found this one here called from Future Wrangler. Asking, "Am I the asshole for making a coworker upset when I corrected her that we are just coworkers and not friends?" So kind of a weird post, but this happened, it just happened, so I wanted to know if I'm the asshole. I just left a job that I'd been at it for over 2 years, and during the time I had come to like many of my coworkers, but I didn't consider them to be friends, as in my opinion, friends are people who you hang out with and are able to text call out of the blue. I understand that my opinion of a friend may not be the universal definition of a friend, but I have used this definition in my life and I consider people who fit the above description friends. All others are coworkers and colleagues. So if I don't hang out, we don't talk, we don't text, or we talk about non-work related things outside of work, then I am not your friend. On my last day at work, a former coworker of mine kept saying that they would miss, a former coworker of mine said that they would keep missing, that they would miss me and kept referring to me as their friend. I reminded them that while I enjoy their company at work, I didn't really consider us to be friends. They were confused as they thought we were. I reminded them that every time I asked them to hang outside of work, they would say no. They would give reasons that ranged from understandable to ones that were, well, obvious that they didn't want to hang out with me. I soon realized that maybe we weren't going to be friends and that I had a coworker that was a colleague who I could talk to during work hours. I let them know that I only considered people my friend if I hang out with them outside of work. They tried to laugh it off as if I was not being serious. I told them I was serious and that I would consider them a coworker. They got upset and said that friends come in all different varieties and that we were friends because we had conversations at work. I again politely informed them that while they might see that as true friendship, I don't. I saw us as coworkers. They got quiet and didn't continue the conversation. They then called me an asshole for making them upset. I was confused as it was a cordial conversation. So, no, you're not the asshole. Yeah, if you tried to hang out, I was hoping that you would say that. Like, if you tried to hang out with them outside of work, they kept denying you. You know, they never talked to you outside of the work hours. They never wanted to do anything but be friends at work. And they never did anything outside of work, and they were only at work. Then, yeah, no, 110%, you are not the asshole. I maybe would have said something different at the end there. You know, I would have been like, hey, you know, Tiffany, we're not really friends here. You know, I tried to hang out with you after work. I consider a friend somebody who I actually hang out with and talk after work, not about just work things, but I only ever hang out with you at work, so I consider you a work colleague. Oh, stop it. We're just friends. Be like, no, we're seriously not friends. I only consider friends people who I hang out with after work, and you've never hung out with me after work. We don't text outside of work. We only visit at work. Oh, come on, Jared. We're just friends. We're friends, aren't we? I'd be like, well, you believe what you want to believe. And then I'd leave it at that. I wouldn't have the third reiteration. You're not really an asshole, but there's a moment in time when you just go, okay, stupid is as stupid does. And that's one of those moments where you're just like, okay. You know, I would have said like, no, we're not friends. Like, no, seriously, we're not friends. And then I go, all right, you think what you want to think. And then, you know, if they're like, well, what does that mean? I've done told you twice. If I need to reiterate a third time, I feel like you just don't get me and you're not listening to me. Another reason why you're not my friend. So yeah, I genuinely believe that you are not the asshole in this situation. You know, you don't always have to say what you think or know to be true if it's of no consequences. If you talk about non-related, fuck you. You're not the asshole. Yeah, I think it's lovely. People are calling him you're the asshole for unnecessarily telling your coworker off like that. People need a real dose of reality. I think I'm in the minority here that you are not the asshole. You're not the asshole just simply because you were straight up and honest with him. If they're like, oh, we're best friends, they'd be like, not really. I don't think we are. I you know, like you could have maybe done it softer. But if you're like me, like I've got a couple of new troops where I've literally just been like, look, I come from a military background. You know, like I want to talk, like I'm going to be straight, blunt and forward. If that doesn't work for you, let me know. Are you cool with that? They're like, yeah, sure. All right, great. And then I can be it. I can be me. But, you know, I think if you want to get the point across that you're not friends, you could have done it maybe a little differently. But, you know, you do you, boo. You do you. And so the last question on is pulled from our ask. Is it okay to have a female best friend if you have a girlfriend? Oh, a better question. If you're bisexual in a relationship, are you allowed to have a best friend, period? I mean, well, I guess kind of, sort of. No. The answer is no. I'm going to give you the reason why I'm saying the answer is yes, it is okay to have a female best friend if you have a girlfriend. It is absolutely okay. No, it should not be a problem. Here's something I want to preface this with. There's people in my life that I have known for years. They're going to be my friends for a lot longer than, you know, my significant other is going to be. Because at this point in time, at this point in time in my life, it's either I become gay or I make a massive change in my life. There's two ways this is go. I could be gay and steal my best friend from his wife, or I make a massive move and transition my life and basically uproot me, Helios, and Mr. Blue Nibbles III, and basically restart in a brand new place altogether if that were to happen. Now, I'm not saying that either of those scenarios wouldn't happen because I've made it very clear to both of those individuals that, yes, I would do that in a heartbeat if given the opportunity. But the most basic thing that I want to break and get down into is that it's a lot like me and the boys, right? Me, Helios, and Blue. And even when I had Hoppy, me, Helios, and Hoppy and Blue, is that the birds have been here before you. They're going to be here long after you. If you were not okay with it, there's the door. Now, is every man going to have a crush on his best friend who happens to be a female? Yes. Would a lesbian have a crush on a girl if she, you know, had a girlfriend? I would venture to guess that if you have a best friend who is the opposite gender of you, it goes one of two ways. You either see them as a sister and you could never, ever, 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 ever think of them that way, or there's an aspect of you that wouldn't mind if you got down and dirty with them. Absolutely. I think it is in human nature. I think that if you don't have those feelings and you can only see them as one, I would be interested to see how your partner feels about it. There may have been times where they've had those romantic feelings or those romantic moments. And I mean, God, how many times have you read that story where it's just like, there was a really, I mean, there's that, it pops up every so often on Reddit where it's like, what was one thing your best friend did that made you really turned on? And you're like, fucking, you know, she touched my cheek and told me that she loved me and said that it was great to know me all those years. And I could have sworn if she would have leaned in for a kiss, I would have taken her to Pound Town and her and I'd be dating. Like, there's always those little moments of romanticism and intimacy that you can get that's going to happen. And I find it highly suspect that a very small majority does not have at least that small little inkling of, well, maybe Natalie can get it. Maybe Tiffany can get it. Maybe Sarah can get it. Maybe Tony can get it. Maybe, you know, Chris can get it. You know, there's always that maybe somebody can get it, you know? And one of the big things that I want to say is that when you have a friend like that, don't do what I did and shun them just simply because your significant other said so. My significant other that told me to shun my best female friend is no longer with me. Hell, she was a fucking psychotic person. She had split personality. She was basically the Ditto of Pokemon that took on the female version of whatever her boyfriend was at the time and is now a part of the Church of Satan and married to some dude. She lasted all of like 8-9 months. My best female friend is still around. We're still talking to this day. We have conversations almost on the daily, on the regular. So to throw out there, no. It is not a bad thing because you're how the fuck do I want to say this? When I talk to people about the birds, about my friends, about everybody else, like they're going to be there for a very long time after you. And I don't really give a shit what you think about them and the relationship that I have, because if you're not okay with it, then okay. Like, one of the things that I can say is, like, if you want my attention and you don't want me to... One of the biggest things that I know a lot of people maybe get weird about is the intimacy or the sexual tension that goes on with, you know, with maybe people who have friends of the gender that they like. Well, if you're meeting all of that person's needs, you're not going to have a problem. You're just not. If your significant other has needs of XYZ and you meet the needs of XYZ, they don't need to seek it elsewhere. They don't need to play video games with somebody else. I mean, they're going to eventually want to play video games with somebody else. And video games are like a really great kind of, you know, forethought into your, like, you know, I like to play first person shooters and Sarah doesn't. Okay. So fucking cool. I get my first person in with some other folks. I get my indie games in with some other people and I get all different kinds of games in with all different kinds of people. And if you want to stop that from happening, play those indie games, try those new things. You know, if you're not willing to do something for your significant other and you're not willing to go the distance for that person based off of what their needs are, don't be weirded out if they seek them out somewhere else. And that could be their best friend. Their best friend could love to go clubbing and dancing. Their best friend could love to go see Marvel movies. Their best friend could love playing those indie games. Where if it's something that you don't do. But now, mind you, like, if you take it to the sexual aspect, very rarely does it go to that route. Very rarely is that they're that romantic intimacy, and there may be some form of it, but then they're not really best friends, are they? They're more like fuck buddies. So, I mean, in the essence of everything, I think it is okay to have a best friend of the gender that you enjoy. And if your significant other has a problem with it, there's the fucking door. Because same thing with my two best friends, and same thing with me and Helios and Blue and you know, the boys here, they're going to be here long after you're gone. And, you know, I guess that's a good little segue into, if you're not going to, you know, if you're not going to be able to take it, there's the door, babe. See you later. I timed that perfectly. That's a damn good episode, don't you guys think? 162 in the books. See you guys later.